Bible with us here as Michael prepares to read. We are going to turn to Ruth 4, verses 18 through 22, and Luke 2, 1 through 20, as we hear the birth of Christ.
This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Solomon, Solomon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David. Luke 2, 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expected a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping their watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Reading of the word of the Lord. Thanks, Michael.
This last Advent series, we've been studying the book of Ruth, and we've studied peace and hope and love and joy. And tonight, we continue on with the word rejoice and what that really means to us as believers in Christ. And so with that, why don't you pray with me this evening? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we've heard from your word, and we ask that you send your Spirit in this place. Lord, we also pray that you just fall upon those that have come here to listen to your word. Lord, may they hear it, may they live by it, may they take it into their hearts and their souls and their minds. And Lord, may these words be your words, and may you fill me with that same Spirit. In Jesus I pray, amen. Watch this video, please. Thank you. Christmas story is filled with the unexpected. The birth of Christ was unexpected, even though prophecy spoke of it for thousands of years. For the way that it took place was unexpected. For Joseph and Mary, her pregnancy was unexpected. We studied the book of Ruth through Advent and the lives of Naomi and Ruth, and the things that happened throughout that process in that book were so unexpected. And I believe that this speaks to us tonight, that we need to expect the unexpected in our lives when it comes to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ works in the most unexpected ways within our own lives. But in reality, you need to know that nothing in God's world is unexpected. He expects everything that He puts into place. We might think He works to bring about salvation in unexpected ways, but that's not the truth in God's eyes, in God's world. He expects everything to go according to His plan, and it does. You just heard the birth story of Jesus Christ. You've heard the story, or you might know the story of the road to the cross. But do we still realize that Jesus still changes lives today? Expect the unexpected. The Christmas story is also a story of rejection. If you sit back and you look at the story, it starts in Luke 2, verse 7, when it speaks of there's no room for them in the inn. Before Jesus was born, the world said no to Him. It's a story of conflict with Satan and what the Lord's trying to do in the world. And Satan tries everything within his power to stomp out the life of this Christ, of this Jesus. And if you were to read in other birth nativity stories in the Bible, you read about the wise men who traveled through Jerusalem and they met with King Herod. And King Herod wanted to know where this new king was, for he didn't want to worship Him. He wanted to kill Him, to stomp out the work of God. The Jews, they rejected Him as not being the true Messiah, and they would nail Him to a cross. And sadly, many today still reject Jesus Christ. And I thought this past week, and I was listening to the radio, and I heard one of the announcers say this, and it's so true of us today. Each and every one of us are the innkeeper in our lives. And I thought about that for a while, and what that DJ meant by that was that, you know, what she meant was is that we get to decide how much of Jesus we allow into our lives. We can choose to totally reject Him. We can choose to take part of Him, but God wants all of us. He wants us to choose all of Jesus. You are an innkeeper tonight, and you decide how much of Jesus you want in your life. That's a decision you have to make. And I realize it begins with the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, and it's part of, but you know, you still have responsibility to grow your faith and to learn the ways of God and the ways of Lord in this world. Are we going to accept the story of Jesus? Or are we going to reject the story of Jesus? Now, I just explained to you two key points of rejection and the unexpected and so on in life, but there's also good to this story. There is revelation given here that we need to know about. There is a plan revealed here by God, and the good news reaches the shepherds first, which you heard in this story, even though they had nothing to offer, nothing at all. For the gift of salvation was offered to us in the same way. And all we have to do is believe in the one true Messiah, Jesus Christ. The Bible says the Savior came for those whom God is pleased. So I thought about that this past week. So who is God pleased in? What does that look like? What does that mean to us as we live lives and we try to do the best we can as we live out our faith? And so he's pleased with everyone who gives their life to him and call upon them as Lord and Savior. He's pleased with the one who repents of their sin and calls upon him as Lord and Savior. He's pleased with the one who repents of their sin and calls upon them on bended knee as well, that Scripture talks about, and we pour out our heart and our life to him. He's pleased with those who choose to live their lives for him. He's pleased with those who do his work in this world and do their best according to their abilities, knowing that you will fall short, knowing that you will sin from time to time, and that God's grace is sufficient for all who call upon him. He sent his child because he loves you. He loves us, and he calls you by name. Emmanuel. We hear of that name often at the Christmas story, but do you truly understand what that name really means tonight? God with us. Not just for a little bit here and there, but forever. Forever. The Lord is with you. Not only in this world, but even through death, and as you pass into the heavenly gates, Jesus is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Forever. Don't ever forget that. This past few weeks, we discussed what it looks like to have real joy, to live with hope in our lives, to be at peace in the world and within our own hearts, and to understand the sacrificial love that God loves us so much that you can't hardly imagine what that would be like. You know, we find all those things in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The world will try to offer you those things, but it will fail you miserably. You might have joy for a while. You might have hope for a while, but it won't last. What Jesus can give you will last forever. To come to Christ in faith is an invitation to trust him, to trust him with your life, to trust him with what tomorrow will hold, to trust him what life will be like a year from now and so on. To come to Christ in faith is also to honor him, to adore him. So as we gather here tonight to celebrate his birth, there's cause for great rejoicing. And then you might wonder, well, what does the word rejoice really mean? What could that mean in a life to a Christian? And it's really simple. The word rejoice means that we are to be happy. To be joyful, to be happy, excited for the good news of Christ that has taken place in our lives. And so may I encourage you tonight, don't let the things of this world get you down. The evil that goes on around us, don't let that get you down. Your past mistakes or the sins that you still hold on to that you've been forgiven for a long time, don't let those things get you down. The light has overcome the darkness. That light is Jesus Christ. He came to break those bonds that hold us back. He came to set you free that you may have life. People of God, rejoice, the Savior has come. Amen. Amen. Let us pray.